6 o'clock, all nuclears on call to see if they've crashed the entire system or if it's working. And if they haven't crashed it, then we'll wander down there. Okay, so thank you very much for coming. And we might come back here for poetry at 6:30 if you're so inclined and if they ever show up.
We showed up.
They're here.
Oh,
you showed up.
Oh.
Thank you. Sorry.
But you don't want to read right now?
They prefer to read
after.
In a moment when they can set up.
Okay. Okay, well, maybe we can quietly and implicitly sort of passively set up while we will chat.
Sure.
Yeah.
And,
show up in my work, so that is a little bit about me. What we're going to do today is, well, just so in case there was any questions, I'm actually dating him, and I like the fact that that's received with laughter. So he's American, I am essentially a combination of Asian and Spanish, and we established a relationship across very different boundaries, culturally, linguistically, and also in terms of space-time continuums, essentially. And this project that we came up with was primarily because there were so many times, and this is literally, I don't think you know this, but this is literally sometimes when I get angry at him, I don't want to use English, I want to use other languages, which I do. And then he listens to it at that point in time, and he later asks me, what does that mean? So it could be from using words in Urdu to Hindi to Catalan, Spanish to so many languages that I kind of do. And that's how this project came about, because we wanted to understand how do you translate intimacy? Because there are so many aspects of this relationship which has been built across different geographies, timelines, spaces. And we've constantly asked ourselves, even though we communicate so much in English, how do we translate intimacy across other languages, which is for him primarily English, but for me all these other languages that I come from. And that's how it began. Translation has always fascinated me, and that's one of the reasons why this project became so important. We were trying to find a name for it, and we tried lots of different options, but we eventually came up with nothing. So as of now, we're just calling it Translating Blanks, which is pretty much how it is. It'll be in three parts, where it's my part, and then he will read his part, and then a combination of it. So that's how it's going to proceed. So to begin with, I think it was Salman Rushdie, who said that translation as a word comes from the idea of being born away or taken away. And whether through language or travel, we're constantly being taken away. And with the two of us, we've always questioned where are we taking each other to in this relationship, through the art aspect of the relationship and through the intimacy aspect of the relationship. So what I'm going to read is from a forthcoming book of mine. It's called To Dhikr Aaye. Dhikr is a form of chanting in Islamic faith used by Sufis, and it's chanting the name of God. It's supposed to be the highest order of spirituality for Sufis, and it's a consistent form of chanting where you become one with God, which is interesting in Sufi religions because God is also their beloved or their loved one. So that's the first aspect of what I'm going to read. So it's called To Dhikr Aaye. Safar Dar Watan, moving away from worldly desires. Your name comes up in zikr, part tourniquet, part trauma, mining the tautology of time, asking me what of this dragon tongue was split between the mask and the myth. Name, Maghrib, homesickness, name, lemon wedged, mosque silhouetted, the kaleidoscope Zardozi, constellating my Virgo's halo, My body, bottled hibiscus tea, his body, warm water, kettle dark, heat spreading with a tortoise speed, cinnamon steeped, jaws motored with prayer. I learn how the blood ache goes from blush to burgundy, turns elk-headed, turns fetal and animal, moves in me like tea leaves under a cloud of hot water. I pray for rains, for water to shatter my silence. Come to my natal vein, where a pause becomes a verb. Mirza Ghalib's couplets galloping in a calligraphy of horses, in a language that does not semaphore symmetry with stillness, a language that is plosives grunting under your molars like a plump betel nut. That is chamomile drowning the stench of fish guts, that is always burning, that equates companion with combustion. Shaghal e Aina, the student before the mirror. This is my face. This is my fault line. The mirror becomes a map. I swim to the past. New Year's rosewood in Alhambra. Spice bazaars of Coromandel. A man with knees as scarred as a bomb shelter. A fog dressing the Turkish oaks in translucent of bridal lace. A hand dropping from a train window like the axed limb of a willow. Dusk of palanquin bearers, fingertips blackened to juniper buds. The mute snow drizzling over a Brooklyn terrace as if a slim garnish of coconut over pan. The rochage of my soft tumor. This city is a factory of celluloid. All that film coating my skin. All that dust teetering to cleft and spittle. I enter the grotto of the mirror, my mouth slowly opening, an unpinned moth, the half-lidded eye of a lotus blossom in July rain. South Asar Mavi, the eternal sound. Percussion is a form of beating. I emerge from music, crushed and redrawn. Breath molten, breath beaten out of me when you come to pray in the ivy and insect shrine that broods against my breastbone. Breath cormorant, clapping its wings against a columbary. Breath pendulating its percussion in the rock shelter of your nostrils. Breath is the weighing of Ruhaniyat. In a bed of white noise, what is music? What is mourning? What is this paria of longing? The verboten anthem, the dumb instrument, translating all that cannot be said, only suffered or sung.